Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
All right, this is the MGB review of Belladonna Division Genesis 2.
And it was from, we talked up off air, we're not quite sure. It's sometime in August, but we don't have the exact date. And we reviewed the first one. I saw the notes that we took. It was saved in May. So I think it was early May when the original one came out. So there's like a 3-month gap between the first one and the second one. All right, we obviously weren't at this event. This is one we watched on pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely stuff we need to talk about before match one, because there was stuff that was important for the show. So go ahead.
Before the first match, Casey Dillon was on the mic,
mm-hmm.
and Eden Von England attacks her and then pins her and wins the belt.
Yeah, Casey mentioned that she'd had the belt for like 2.5 years, and she was basically like a fighting champ. It can be defended anywhere. And Cheap Shot came out with a hockey stick. I didn't notice the music as well, and it shocked me how old it was. I was like, that's a Prodigy song. And I was like, that's probably like 4 or 5 years old. It was 12 years old, that song. It was Invaders Must Die, so I can add that onto my... I'm not sure if that's Eden's normal, if that's her entrance music. I didn't actually notice in their actual match, but I certainly saw that. Now, I got one other thing that I want to talk about here, because I totally goofed on this. I don't think this is a big spoiler particularly, but in match one, it's Casey Lennox who was introduced as being from Baltimore, Maryland. So that's where I started doing my research, and I looked and it said she was from Gadsden, Alabama, which is where the event is. And I was like, oh, you know sometimes how they just pretend to be billed from somewhere and then they're actually from somewhere else. I was like, oh, okay, fair enough. And I was like, oh, well, that makes sense then, because that's why that'd be part of that organization. Now, I'm going to tell you my gaffe straight away, because I didn't realize this as quick. I typed in Casey Dillon instead of Casey Lennox.
Oh, you did?
There's a lot of people with similar names here. So we had Casey Dillon, Casey Lennox, and there was also another Lennox later. I think it was Lacey Lennox. Or Layla Lennox?
Layna Lennox.
So it got a little confusing. Anyway, so I typed it in. Anyway, so I did get to find out more about Casey, not realizing which Casey it was at the time. So Casey was trained at... Oh, where did I write it down? Ground Zero Wrestling School, which is in Richmond, Virginia. And then I was like, oh, that's probably why it's built in Baltimore. Still didn't realize I'd totally goofed anyway. I'm wondering if that's the one in the... I can't remember the exact name. Is it Can't Kill David Arquette?
Yeah.
I think that was that same thing. I'm sure there isn't. I guess there could be two wrestling schools in Richmond. I don't know. So we knew people who were there. People like Jordan Blade's there. Erica Lee is there as well. Now, what I didn't know is, as I continued to search for this one to find out a little bit more, it sounded like they put on wrestling shows as well. Their Twitter account hasn't been used since 2017. Oh, I forgot to show you the picture. I think it was the main event. It was Mr. Grimm versus Ethan Cross. Ethan Cross has hair.
Oh, he does.
I was like, whoa! Oh, I was like, this is only 4 years ago. It looks like Sickened was training there as well, and I saw Corey Bush had a match there as well. So there might be a lot more people who've trained in Richmond than even I'd realized, because we sort of had a few. We saw is it Chris Sharp? I think he was part of that as well. I'm trying to think who else. Sledge Gibson, I think we saw in that documentary as well, locking up as well. So, yeah, there's a lot more people who we know and still see regularly who actually might have possibly trained there. So, a total gaff, but I got to find out some stuff that I didn't know. I wish GXW still put on some shows. That would be another one that would be kind of interesting. Anyway, I guess there is a company down there now anyway. All right, so match one, Hollywood's own Jay Lee versus sweet and sassy Casey Lennox, who is from Baltimore, Maryland, once I actually typed it in properly. She's been wrestling for 5 years. She was trained with a Team Vision Dojo. And I actually have seen Casey Lennox wrestle before. And the reason I'd recognized it, I went back to look at it up. It was the Ignite Women's title. Casey Lennox defeated Aspen Rose and Dream Girl Ellie in the Ignite 5th anniversary show. And I think I saw one of the other shows that Casey was in as well. They can tend to put like classic matches up on Facebook. The last match that Casey was listed as having wrestled, though, was... RPW women's title match. Casey Lennox defeats Lainey Luck. Title change. So She actually won the title at RPW. That event is at Green Bay, Wisconsin. I don't know how good your geography is, Mason. The match before that, Jade defeated Kacy Lennox at Wow Hit the Lights 2021 in New York City. And we've just said that this was held in Alabama. That's a lot of traveling involved. You're going as far north as Green Bay, and you're going as far north and west, sorry, northeast as New York, and then you're going far south as Alabama as well. That's a lot of changes involved.
That's like 3,000 miles.
That's some distance. And a third to last match that I saw, this gets even better. The PPW Diamonds Division title, Hembra Kato defeated Kacy Lennox for a title change, and that was in Naples, Florida. Like, wow, that's some serious traveling. Now, I know Cage Match doesn't list every single match that people appear in, but I thought it was interesting that those three matches were like so far apart geographically. All right, what you got for this one, Mason?
Jaylee stance on Casey's hair. Jaylee is continuous.
Well, that wouldn't hurt at all, would it?
Well, she's just standing on somebody's hair. That standing hurt on her hair.
Uh-huh.
Wait, yeah. Why did that hurt?
Yeah, that wouldn't hurt at all.
If she was standing,
like I could stand on your hair right now, you wouldn't. That wouldn't hurt.
Well, that
it would
hurt
if you grabbed hold of their arms and then tried pulling them up though at the same time, right?
Well, yeah.
Did she do that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. That makes way more sense. Yeah.
Jaylee is continuously grabbing Casey's hair. Jaylee has the advantage for most of the match, but she gets cocky and Kacy gets the upper hand. Jaylee rolls up Kacy, and Kacy and Jaylee both have feet on the rope, but ref still counts to three.
It was like the worst refereeing ever in terms of to not notice. Sometimes you don't notice when like one of them has their feet. They were both right on the side there. The both of them had, I think Jaylee had both feet on the ropes. Mm-hmm. I think Kacy had one foot on the ropes, and yeah, the ref didn't spot it at all. The heel got away with one. I'm gonna let you off the hook here a little bit. I wrote it down wrong. I put she was standing on air. I think I meant she was standing on hair, so I got it a little bit mixed up. She was also like taunting her. She was like spanking her as well a little bit and like pushing her away and just like all the little annoying things that heels do. I've never seen Jaylee before. I was really impressed with Jaylee. I really wanted to find out more about Jaylee, and I couldn't really find out much.
Yeah, I think their photography is amazing.
Not that, definitely not that Jaylee for sure. I looked online, I couldn't really find too much at all, but that's definitely a name I'm going to be looking out for in the future. I thought it was a good opening match. I like Kacy Lennox from what I've seen before, and I was impressed with Jaylee, who I hadn't seen before. All right, well, I actually read out the matches. I'm sure you have them. Match two?
Ryan Rembrandt and Sydney Von England versus the Runaways.
Now, I also noticed for this, because you've actually missed out a bit, and I was curious if you would get this. For every single person that comes out, they also have a nickname as well. So it was Remarkable Ryan Rembrandt, and it was the Saboteur Sydney Von England. And did you mention their opponents? Because they weren't facing... Oh, the Runaways. Okay, you did mention it. Oh, sorry, yes. The Runaways were Calvin Couture, who we've seen before at Nova Pro, and I think it's Tyler Klein. I couldn't find... I kept trying to look. It was on his pants, and I could see the Tyler part, and every time I tried to look at the last name, the angle kept changing, so I didn't quite get to see it. Ryan Rembrandt's from Fayetteville, North Carolina. We obviously know that Sydney is from England. And that was actually part of British... I think they said at the start they had a connection now with British Empire Wrestling. And Sydney's definitely wrestled there before. They actually spelled Sydney's name wrong on Cage Match. Because when I typed it in to find him, I couldn't find it to begin with. And it's not the... You know how some wrestlers deliberately spell their name slightly different?
Yeah,
so it's easier to find them?
I know how to spell it.
So how do you spell this Sydney?
S-I-D-E-N-Y.
Correct. Where normally you would spell it S-I-D-N-E-Y.
Yeah, that's what I put in my notes.
So I looked for the proper spelling and didn't find it. And the only way actually I got to find out Sydney originally was, I just typed in, well, on the next match when I was looking for more stuff for Eden, it said Von England's. And then it said who was in the Von England's, it had Sydney and Eden. So I was like, okay, I could just click on Sydney. So yeah, they messed up on that part. From Cambridge, his nickname is the Cambridge Catch King. That sounds really catchy. I don't know. Oh, no pun intended, but I really like the sound of that one. Trained by several people, including Dominic Guarini. Listed as 5'7", 210 pounds. That made me wonder, did Dominic Guarini go to England to train? Or did Sid get training over in the US? I couldn't find that out. I like Sid's former names. Sydney James, Tyson James, and Sydney Duckworth. Now, I'm assuming they mean very little to you. They did to me. Sydney James is an actor. It was a very famous actor. So as you don't know who he was, let me find out. I actually thought he was born in... I thought he was English. He was actually born in South Africa, it said. He was cast in numerous small and sporting roles in the 1950s. His profile was raised when he appeared on Hancock's Half Hour. That was one of my dad's favourite shows. First in the radio series and later on TV. And afterwards, he became known as a regular performer on the Carry On films, appearing in 19 films in which he had top billing in 17. And he was also in the TV show Bless This House. So I recognise from that. And I'm not sure if you picked Sidney Duckworth because of... Have you heard of Coronation Street?
No.
It's a famous soap opera in England. And the Duckworths are one of those families. So I was wondering, like, when he comes picking out these names, like, is he picking out names that sound very British? I don't know. I wasn't quite sure on this. Now, I did try and check. I think... when I talked to England, when I talked to Eden a little bit, that they moved over, and I thought it was definitely this year, but it was near the start of the year. From what I can tell, his first match in the USA was against Jason Page in Toledo in late March, and his last match in England was early March, where he defeated Project Risk in a parish hall in Henlow, Bedfordshire. So yeah, I'm guessing it was around March time, so they've been over now about 6 months. All right, Mason, what you got for this one?
I didn't like the announcer. He rolled his R's too long, and it was kind of annoying.
Oh, he did? Oh, yeah. I don't remember that at all.
Especially when he says, "Remarkable Ryan Rembrandt." The R's were rolled way too long.
I meant to check. Do you know who Rembrandt is?
No.
It's a famous artist.
Oh.
So I kind of like that, because he kind of gave that impression like his body was a piece of work, like he was... Because his body was chiseled.
He gave me the Bobby Roode impression.
Oh, okay.
With this jacket.
Oh, okay.
The same
okay.
jacket.
I actually like Rembrandt. I thought I had another name I hadn't seen before, but in the match I was particularly impressed with him. All right, what about the match itself then, even though you didn't like the introductions?
They both do a celebration contest, but the runways get attacked during their turn.
Uh-huh.
Tyler dances with Sydney, but Ryan distracts... Tyler dances with Sydney, but Sydney wasn't dancing with him.
Mm-hmm.
He was, like, forcefully dancing with him. Ryan distracts the ref, and then Calvin climbs under Tyler's legs, and then during a test of strength, he headbutts Sydney's doodle.
He did, yes.
And then he attempts it again, but is met with Ryan, and Calvin pokes Ryan's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Sydney gets an ankle lock to Tyler, but then has to switch to an armbar to Calvin. Then Sydney accidentally hits Ryan, and then Tyler does a spine buster, then a running elbow for the win.
Now, there was one bit, because I was actually looking on time. I missed at the start that this was a 10-minute match. And after 8 minutes, they said there's 2 minutes to go. And I looked on the time, I was like, whoa, this has gone really quickly. And I looked, I was like, oh, okay, fair enough. They actually went longer than 2 minutes.
They did.
It was like 2.5 minutes. So technically, it should have been a draw for this one. I told you this before, after we'd finished watching a few matches. I wanted this match to go on longer. I was disappointed it didn't go on longer. I know when it's tags, you kind of have to... You only get like half the time as well. This is the first time I've seen Sydney wrestle. So I wanted to see a little bit more of Sydney. I really liked Rembrandt. Calvin Couture, I always think he's very entertaining. And I wasn't familiar with his new partner. Yeah, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more for this one. So I thoroughly enjoyed the match, but I was actually hoping... And it would be a little bit longer, to be honest. All right, match three then, Mason.
Match three is Casey... they're not yet. Casey Dillon gets on the mic and calls out Eden Von England.
Yeah.
And the stipulation... Well, Eden comes out and Casey starts a match in this, but the special stipulations.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a tongue twister.
It is. What was the stipulation?
If Eden loses, she will leave Belladonna, and if Sidney Von England steps foot outside the curtain, there will both be banned, and Casey is the ref.
There's like quite a few on those ones, yeah. There was a lot of things. So, yes, because the tournament's coming up, I think, on the next event, I think they said. So, yeah, there was a lot going on this one. They're fine for this one. Oh, the fact they mentioned that British Empire Wrestling was a partner. I did actually go and look to see what some events were. Now, obviously, COVID affected them massively. But November 2019, I did manage to find Lady Frost and Mariah May defeated Casey Dillon and Sahara 7. So that's Casey's connection with British Empire Wrestling. And Lady Frost, I didn't remember that, actually. I'd forgotten that she'd been to England. Featured at Hillcross Primary School in Merton, Great London. Oh, I love those small venues. I love them when they're held at school. Now, Eden actually had some different names
remember
as well.
Remember when the teacher Jumped off a ladder.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy. Eden Holcroft. And obviously now Eden Von Englen. And Eden is listed as being trained by Dominic Guarini and also Sid Von Englen. So I'm not quite sure the chronology there. Did Sid become a wrestler first? And then I'm guessing it must be that way around if Sid did some training with Eden. There was other people mentioned as well. Now, the thing that caught my eye was this. The poster that says, "Today, Old Wrestling Extravaganza, Sunday, August 29th, Huron County Fairgrounds, Norwalk, Ohio." Now, the reason it stands out to me is Norwalk, Ohio, and I think this must be 2019, Mason, just because of COVID. Jackson and I went there for an Independence Day parade. You didn't want to come.
Oh, yeah.
And Jackson and I went, and it was great. And we saw this old wrestling thing, and we tried to find them, but they didn't appear in the parade. We couldn't find the show. They had the show, but I don't know what happened. We didn't get to see it.
You guys came home with so much candy.
Yeah, I've never seen so much candy thrown. It was ridiculous. Yeah, I love that one. If it hadn't have been for COVID, I would have gone again in, well, they didn't have it in 2020, but I would have I would definitely go to it again. And so those were the characters they actually went as. They went as Eden Holcroft and Sidney Duckworth, who I mentioned earlier. The tweet says, August 30th, Old Wrestling was splendid. Eden Holcroft and Sidney Duckworth had a jolly good time and a win out of it too. Hashtag vintage, hashtag wrestling, hashtag 1920s, hashtag cricket, hashtag tennis, hashtag team VE, hashtag rule Britannia. Yeah, they had like tennis players looked like in the 1920s to begin with. I know they had a tennis racket. I assume that was instead of having the hockey stick and things like that. And it was fantastic. Yeah, it was really good. All right, what about the match itself then? How did it go?
I don't know if I said, but Eden Von Englen is facing Sahara 7.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Eden has control of the whole match for up to this point, and Sahara gets a knee lock. And Sidney comes in and throws a hockey stick in the ring. And then both of them should be banned at this
point. That should have been the end, at that point. But Casey let it go.
Casey gives Sidney a choke slam. And then Sahara wins with a gory bomb.
They said choke slam. It looked like a rock bottom to me. But I don't know if that's like... is that limited to WWE calling it that? I don't know.
I haven't really seen that many rock matches.
Oh, really? Oh,
well, geez. I've seen, like, probably five.
You need to fix that, then, if you don't know Rock's signature moves. I thought I'd lent you my DVD of, like, Rock's best matches or something. I was sure you borrowed
it. Well, I know what it is, but I just wouldn't call it that if it was shown. Except the People's Elbow. I would call it a People's Elbow.
So this shocked me, because when this match happened, I was like, there's no way Eden's losing this match. There's, like, literally no way this is happening. And then I was like, what the hell? I was like, Eden's got to leave? I was like, okay, all right, fair enough. I didn't like... The thing I liked in the first Genesis, I didn't like in this one. Like, that's a really dramatic moment now. Eden's lost, and they just cut straight away and then went to the next match. I want to see Eden's reactions as they're leaving the ring. I want to see exactly the look on their face. I want to see, like, I'm assuming there would be, like, an argument with Casey as well. Like, hey, look, you can't do this to me. There was nothing. We didn't see anything. It was like, one, two, three. I do like the replay at the end. So, because a number of times you've missed an ending... they have the real thing.
I don't recall that happening.
I didn't think you would. But then they have the replay again so you can catch exactly what happened. That's good for when you're taking notes, for sure. But I didn't like the fact it cut away so quickly. Now, the one thing I don't know if you picked up from this, though, there's a big turnover of people who were in the events. So this is Genesis 1, Mason. Tracy Taylor, Skylar O'Ryan, Eden Von Englen, Gabby Gilbert, Trixie, Brittany Blake, Shalance Royal, Zoe Sky, Harley Fairfax, Valentina Loca, NOAD and Jazz, Ray Lynn and Heather Monroe. As far as I can tell, there was only two of those people who appeared in this one. Eden Von Englen and Shalance Royal.
What about Sidney Von Englen?
Sidney did not appear in the other one. He might have appeared. He wasn't wrestling, though. Okay, let me put it that way then. But yeah, so I don't know. So perhaps that's the thing. There's just a big turnover. They get lots of different wrestlers in. So none of the people from the... only Shalance was, besides Eden, were the only person who made it to this one. So,
Spoiler!
Oh, well, never mind. And you can't even get around it. Like on WWE, like, oh, they have to leave Raw. And you're like, well, they're just going to turn up on SmackDown. And, Jericho and MJF this weekend, All Out. It was if Jericho loses, then he has to stop wrestling for AEW.
I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
And I, well, on the prediction show that I appeared on, I was like, I just don't think that's going to happen yet. Like, I know he's nearly 50. He might be 50 now. I don't know. I was like, I just can't see him doing that right now. There's, like, no way you can get around it if he loses. He didn't lose. He won. He beat MJF, so he can still wrestle. But it was kind of a similar thing. All right, match four then, who we just talked about a second ago, Shalonce Royal, the only other person from Genesis 1, against Lana Lennox, the fighting siren Shalonce Royal, and is the aesthetically dreamy Lana Lennox. Lana Lennox, straight out of the 80s. That's all I got, Mason. We talked about Shalonce Royal on the other one. I really like Shalonce's gimmick when she was singing, then she got, kind of got really high-pitched. And they were
I don't really have much for this match either.
Okay.
Shalonce is singing before the match.
Yep.
Shalonce stands on Lena's as a pin, and Shalonce taps to 2 minutes to midnight.
Yeah, Lana Lennox was somebody who I wasn't familiar with, and once again, that's another name I'm going to be looking out more for. I couldn't find much about Lana Lennox when I was looking. I was struggling. There was sometimes I might have been rushing a little bit more than normal. Mm-hmm. I did find out the part. I liked the look of the character. I thought it worked really well. We've seen people who were like 90s girls. It makes sense that you have one from the 80s as well. But yeah, no, I didn't really write anything specifically down for this one. I just sat back and enjoyed the match and thought it was okay. All right, match five.
You were rushing, even though we're a week ahead.
Well, as we were recording, I wanted to watch it and then record straight away before we forget what happens in the matches, because, well, for you particularly, that can be a big problem.
Me?
Match five, the female with attitude, that's Maserati, versus the golden one, Cassandra Golden. I'm trying to remember who this was. Oh, this was Maserati I looked up. I was born for this. Great achievement is usually born of great sacrifice, and I've sacrificed everything to get to this point. Hashtag FWA, hashtag Maserati, hashtag female with attitude, at Ring of Honor, hashtag Ring of Honor, and then a few other things like that. So yeah, there was a great picture on her Twitter profile, and you can see her with a Ring of Honor background, and obviously she was having some matches there. So I mentioned how Casey Lennox earlier had traveled all over the country. I saved this one for you, Mason. Match Madness 2021, second round, Maserati defeated Casey Lennox in Las Vegas, Nevada. Like, my goodness. We went all down that East Coast, top to bottom, and then now you went all the way over to the West Coast as well.
That might have been her most paying wrestling event or her least paying wrestling event.
She had to pay for her own flight.
I meant, like, as in gambling.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, you got to try and avoid that when you're over there. Yeah, go ahead.
Materazzi?
Struggling with that name. It sounds Italian to me. There used to be a soccer player. I think it was called Marco Maserati. Oh, it was very close to that. Maserati.
Materazzi?
Maserati.
Maserati.
There you go.
Oh my gosh. Maserati is leaning on the ropes, and Cassandra attempts to run into Maserati, but Maserati spins around and kicks Cassandra through the ropes. Maserati chokes Cassandra, but Cassandra gets a Boston Crab after Maserati gets out, and Cassandra wins with a Michinoku driver.
It was a pretty evenly case match. They both got a chance to show their moves, and yeah.
In my notes, I have the T before the Z in Maserati. I have Maserati.
I think you wrote it down wrong. I can check the hashtag. Yeah, the hashtag that I just copied and pasted, it definitely is Maserati. So you weren't reading it wrong, you just wrote it wrong.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Okay, well, that's not quite so bad then. I'm gonna say basic reading skills. Actually, copying skills is probably easier than reading skills, probably. Right?
I didn't copy and paste from a hashtag.
Well, not from that, but like if you look at something and you copy down what it says, that's probably easier than being able to read it. Like, I could do that in Russian. Like, I don't know any Russian at all, but I could copy the Russian down. I won't be able to say it, so yeah, that might be even worse actually.
That's like paparazzi too. That's an Italian word, right?
It is. I believe so. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if that's the kind of a connection on that play on words. I don't know. It might be. Like paparazzi, you've got all the people taking photographs of you. Wrestlers obviously have that ego as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of makes sense that that could be part of it. All right. Match six. A perfectly constructed woman, Amber Rodriguez, versus Impact Wrestling's Jordynne Grace. I think Jordynne Grace was the only person that didn't get a nickname. I think everybody else had like a...
Yeah, I was wondering that announcer didn't call her Big Mama Pump.
Oh, yeah.
It was that announcer that likes to roll his R's.
Now, I know at the start as well, because we talked about it a little bit afterwards. Because we actually watch this separately. I always prefer to watch it separately, and then we can, because otherwise we sometimes discuss things ahead of time and we both steal each other's things. Was Casey mentioned at the start, like, all the different organizations that were involved, and there was a lot, and we'll talk about some of the other ones later. So this was obviously Impact. I already mentioned Ring of Honor as well. I don't know if you know this story, Mason. This is why I went back and looked this up. Jordan Grace competed in the World Natural Powerlifting Federation in Georgia in her 165-pound weight class. Jordan says, made weight, broke all three state and national records for all three lifts, first place and best overall lifter. Thank you so much for all the support. I love you all so much. This is just the beginning. All right, can you tell me what the three different types of weightlifting are then?
Deadlift?
Yes, deadlift.
Powerlift?
What's that?
When you put it over your head?
I think that's the squat. Okay, oh, yeah.
Okay, squat.
Because you have to squat down and then lift it up over your head.
Mm-hmm. Bench press?
There we go. All right. I was just going to read them all out, and I was like, oh, we'll see if he can remember that. I got one thing from the entrance I didn't notice. We obviously used to see Jordan Grace quite a lot at Nova Pro. Mm-hmm. I don't ever remember her giving high fives. Like, she was always, she was a heel, but she's like so focused on the ring. Like, she would kind of walk around, do her thing, and then get into the ring. She was giving high fives to everybody in this one. So
I wonder if she worked on that. I don't know.
It might just be because it's a different event. Not quite sure. Obviously, you can be playing different characters as well, but it was just something which I'd never seen. I don't think I've seen Jordan do that before. Perhaps she does it at other play. It might just have been Nova Pro. I'm not sure. Go ahead, what you got?
Oh, like, what would you classify as a WWE superstar? Would you classify Savage Gentleman as a WWE? Because he has appeared there.
No.
He's been in
he's appeared on WWE.
In the Conga line, no. And he has appeared as Batista's bodyguards.
No, I can tell you who the WWE person is later.
Oh, yeah, I already know who it is.
Oh, okay, all right.
But,
I thought you were trying to figure it out.
No.
Oh, okay, all right.
I just wanted to see what you think.
You can obviously, if you're a promoter, you can obviously use it however you like. But yes, you could definitely mention those people. They will often say, I've appeared on WWE, even if it's just a squash match, because that obviously gets people's attention. Now, most people, particularly at the indies to begin with, people don't realize what the indies are. Some people aren't even aware of the indies. I wasn't aware of the indies until, when was it, 2017, something like that? And yeah, they will use things like that to grab your attention, and why not? If you've appeared on there, sure.
Yeah.
You wouldn't, if you watch WWE regularly, you would know that they're not a regular appearer on that show. But yeah, I don't have a problem with that at all. All right, what about match?
Amber's reluctant to get rid of a shank-looking object because she's, quote, professional.
Okay.
Amber has the upper hand that mocks Jordan Grace.
Mm-hmm.
By doing the flex thing. Amber clotheslines do nothing to Jordan.
Jordan's pretty tough.
Amber has, like, the most efficient pin I've ever seen. She hooks one leg with both of her arms, and then she hooks the other legs with her legs, and then she puts the rest of her body weight on top of them, on the person who she's pinning.
Yeah.
That's probably the best pin I've seen.
There's some pretty lazy pins, that's for sure. But if you're going to try and make it look convincing, then yeah, no.
She hooked both legs.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never seen anyone do that.
Yeah, it works. Yeah. I was really impressed with Amber in this one. I thought there was some Amber that we saw at Nova Pro, and I'm not sure if it was this Amber or if it was a different Amber. I think the Amber that we saw also appeared at, like, that fight club in DC, that poor DC thing. I'm not sure if it was the same person, but no, I was thinking this is going to be like a squash match. I was like, Jordan's obviously going to win, and easily, and it wasn't actually like that at all. Amber had way more offense than I thought she would, and I thought she looked really good in it as well. Obviously, Jordan plays a role in that as well, but no, I thought they put on a great match for this one.
The first rule about Fight Club is to not talk about Fight Club. Is it like an illegal thing?
I've never
watched the movie, but...
Good.
No, I mean, like, whatever they're doing.
Yeah, they're having fights. Like, in the street.
Oh.
Which, yeah, no, you can't do that. That would be, like, disturbing the public.
Oh.
Well, eventually they start meeting, like, they have, like, a place they hang out, so it's underground. But no, it just starts
That's
off...
not illegal, is it?
If they're consenting adults... Well, if you have a group there, then that would be a little different. And if you're putting bets on... I don't think there's bets on it, actually. Come to think of it. No. It's basically just for people to get their aggression out. Mm-hmm. So they just have fights with each other.
Oh. Well, what's wrong with that?
There's rules with physically hurting other people. I don't. I'm,
well, if you're both giving consent, sanctioned.
Well, but it's not. But okay. But then, are you allowed to have a wrestling match in Virginia?
Yes.
Without permission? No.
No, I guess. No.
So why not? Because it could be dangerous, right?
I guess.
And I don't think boxing might be a little more dangerous than wrestling.
Yes.
Exactly. Maybe. So yeah, punches to the head are generally not considered a good thing. So no, you can go. Obviously, if you want to do that, you could go to a gym and you could go to a proper boxing club and you could wear the headgear and you could still.
That's too expensive.
Possibly. Possibly.
Okay, I understand why they don't talk about Fight Club then.
Because if they get caught, then they'll shut the club down and then they won't be able to do it anymore.
And they'll get arrested.
But the thing is, on the film, spoiler alert, they do, because the club keeps getting bigger and bigger. Because that's one of the talks. It's like, okay, how are we getting more people here if the first rule is you don't talk about Fight Club?
They obviously, said that in the movie?
Obviously some of you are talking about Fight Club, or else we wouldn't have any more people joining this one. So, yeah. Like, no, it started off in like a parking lot, I think it was, and then it kind of grew and grew and
grew. Sounds like a good movie.
It's a fantastic movie. It's a really good movie.
Sounds like one I should watch.
I don't have a rating for that on IMDb, but it would be a minimum of 9 out of 10. Mm-hmm. I could easily justify 10 out of 10 straight away.
Sounds like a movie I should watch.
When you're a little bit older, absolutely. It's a film that
the first time I watched it,
I thought was good. And then the second time I watched it, I thought it was even better. And the third time I watched it, I thought it was even better again. It's one of those that you appreciate more that you see. There's
just
a lot
like
that
Tenet?
You miss.
Is it like Tenet. Backwards like Tenet? Or?
It's just, no. It's nothing like that at all. Oh. But there are things that you don't appreciate necessarily on the first time you watch it. But yes, when you're older, that will be a great film to watch. But not right now. Hey, how about this match? Who won this match?
Jordan wins with a pump handle driver.
I thought they called that the Grace Driver. I thought, or something like that. I think
that's not what the commentator said.
They did, but I wrote. That's why I deliberately wrote it down in my notes. I thought there was a name for it. On Impact, perhaps I don't know. Perhaps they didn't realize.
Maybe they have the rights to that.
Hey, possibly they do. Possibly they do. But yeah, it was her traditional finisher. It looks really effective. I love that finish that she does. Yeah, it was great. I'm gonna say no disrespect to some of the people on the card, but Jordan Grace is a huge name.
Yeah.
And when I was like, and I didn't know that Jordan was actually even on the card. So when I was like, woo. But the other thing that got my attention was, this isn't even the main event. I was like, wow, you got Jordan Grace and that's not the main event. I was like, woo, that's gonna be pretty good.
And they got an AEW superstar and that's not even the main event either.
Uh-huh. Alright, match 7 then. You got the people for this?
Well, yeah. The AEW superstar, I've never even heard of.
Until I told you. Because you asked me. Nick Comoroto and Brick Aldridge, Nick and Brick, versus Toyobo Floyd, who was one half of the Outrunners and the pinnacle of Persian perfection personified. And you thought you had a problem saying something earlier. Zakar Shah. So you wanted to know. So Nick was actually at NXT first. He was known as Nick Ogarelli and also Nick Comoroto from March 2019 to March 2020. And then he joined AEW in October 2020. Now, the thing I was looking for in this match, and it didn't actually happen. It actually happened at a different show. It was at an MCW show. Nick was actually the boyfriend of the referee Becky.
Oh, sure.
I actually thought that this was a match where he actually proposed to her, but he wasn't. It was MCW.
Oh.
So we could have been at that match, possibly. I know we looked at it, but we didn't actually go. Nick said, when I was poor, she was there. When I had money, she was there. Then when COVID, this, and I lost my job, she was there to pick up the pieces and bring me back here. Becky is the sweetest, most caring person you will ever meet in your life. And yeah, like I said, there was 5 months when he wasn't wrestling at all in 2020. Obviously, COVID's a terrible time to suddenly lose your job. But he has been a big star on AEW. Like, obviously, when you look at him, he's physically imposing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as alongside Cutie Marshall and the rest of that team, I think it's The Factory, I think it's called. Yeah, he's been really impressive. I do not remember him from NXT. I did go back and look at the matches and I was like, perhaps he was not the main person in the match, which is why I didn't remember him. But yes, he's definitely, and I don't watch AEW that frequently either, but once I saw him, I was like, "Ooh, yeah, he's pretty impressive. He's on most weeks.
I think last time I watched AEW was,
Dynamite, the very first show.
Yep.
Oh, good gracious. I do want to say Turbo
like
Floyd.
A full show.
Turbo Floyd's, pink pants did remind me of Dolph Lundgren. I thought he had a very similar look to him, because I'm not sure if everyone will know who Turbo Floyd is. I think I'm right in saying I didn't know any of the other people in this match except for Nick. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I didn't know any of the matches before. I do like the name Nick and Brick, though. I think that works really well.
I count, like, watching it as, like, I see every match.
Okay.
Because I've seen matches.
Okay.
Like, a few, when you're telling me to watch it because there's somebody in it. But other than that, I don't watch it.
You don't watch it. You don't watch WWE either anymore.
Yeah.
You don't even watch pay-per-views anymore. Like, the last three you've missed. Oh, no, you watch SummerSlam, I think, actually.
Yeah.
I think that's... Before that, you missed, like, three in a row. Yeah, you're not a regular... For somebody who has a wrestling podcast, you're probably the podcaster that watches the least amount of wrestling, I would say.
Guess so.
I think Jackson watches more than you, so I think safe to say that.
No, he doesn't.
I think it's safe to say that.
No, he doesn't.
You only watch things that I tell you we should watch because of the actual reviews that we're going to do.
Because WWE sucks.
Watch AEW.
That's...
I keep trying to tell you, watch AEW.
I don't know if
just watch the 5-minute highlights. They do top 10 moments. That's all you need to see to keep up with the stories.
I have a busy schedule.
And then you won't have to ask questions like, Oscar's a heel now? Or why is this happening?
Oscar's an AEW?
Or why are they tagging now? I said for WWE. But you should watch AEW. They put the top 4 moments up as well, so you can always watch those. And they actually show you like a 6-minute. They actually give you the main parts. You can watch the whole show, basically, or the top 4 moments in like 20 minutes.
You have more time than me.
No, I do not.
Yes, you do. You watch stuff at times too.
Well, you can watch it at times. You can watch it at times too.
I don't understand.
You don't watch anything at all, so you could watch half of what I watch then, right? And that would still be okay at times one.
I don't understand when they speak like...
They don't speak when they're wrestling most of the time. If it's a promo, then that's different, but I can understand it at that speed.
Well, you watch other shows and they're like...
I watch the highlights from All Out at times 1.5. Doesn't do that. I mean, you just do that because mommy does that and she thinks it's funny. But that's not what it sounds like to me. But I did actually slow it down for that.
Uh-huh.
Alright, you want to tell us about this match?
Yes. Turbo tries to faceplant on Nick but misses. Brick gets sent over the top and Turbo turns his back on Nick and he learns to regret it. Turbo breaks up the count and the ref... breaks up the count and the ref and Brick is distracted and Zakar rakes Brick's eyes and Turbo left the arena. Just left Zakar by himself to fight Nick and Brick. And Brick and Nick win with a gorilla press into a bulldog off the top rope.
And I think the commentator said he'd never seen that happen before, if I remember correctly. One thing I had that you didn't have was there was a lot of scoop slams. I'm not sure which order it was. I think it was Turbo Floyd got scoop slammed like 2 or 3 times in a row. Zakar got scoop slammed like 2 or 3 times in a row. And Nick was so into it, he almost scoop slammed his partner as well, which I thought was pretty funny. That was like a little
joke.
Was like a little joke moment in the middle. But he was like so into it. Like, he's so strong. Like, he was just slam after slam after slam, and then, oh, that was my own partner. Whoops, didn't mean to do that. Anyway, it added a little bit of jolliness to the match, which I thought was good. I haven't seen Nick outside, like I said, outside AEW, and I don't watch AEW that frequently. So it was good to see a match where I could actually really focus on him. Because obviously on AEW, he's not that top tier yet, but it was good to see him where he had the chance to shine a little bit more, just to see the kind of things that he could do. So, yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it. All right, main event. I believe the world renowned Renee Michele versus Crown Jewel Kimberly. Renee Michele was listed as being from DC. I was like, she is? I was like, I didn't know that. I was like, how come she didn't appear? Like, I would like to have seen her at Nova Pro like a few years ago, or like, I don't think we've ever seen her wrestle in person.
Because you're from somewhere doesn't mean you wrestle there.
She might not live there anymore either. If it's born from that place as well, then it could be different as well. But
yeah, plenty of people move away from their birthplace.
It's true. I'd like to think she comes back to town and visits family. Well, family might not live there anymore either.
We don't go to England more than a month.
Point taken. All right, August 28th. So this is literally like a week after when we're recording this anyway. NWA World Women's Tag Team Title Tournament. First round, Allison Kay and Marty Bell defeat Hell on Heels, which was Renee Michele and Sahara 7. So a couple of people who we'd obviously talked about earlier as well. That was from St. Louis. Renee Michele has appeared on AEW Dark. She faced Red Velvet. That was this month as well, actually. And this is the one that you were asking, Mason. So you asked, does Mae Young count as WWE? Because they mentioned that she'd appeared on that. She also appeared on 2019 WWE 24/7 title. Carmella and R-Truth defeat Drake Maverick and Renee Michelle. So
okay, that counts.
All right, so she was on that.
I think Belladonna messed up.
Monday Night Raw 1366. It was only a short match.
They should have said multiple AEW stars. That would have sounded better than AEW star.
I don't know. I can't remember the exact wording. Now, I have a feeling we mentioned this before on a previous one, but they did mention she was MCW title, so I did look at those. So in 2019, starting in... And they do this the British way, so I just got to make sure I switch it back. October, Renee Michelle defeated Araya Palmer? I think it's Araya Palmer. And Gia Scott to become the new title holder. She then defeated Gia Scott in November. And then on the December show, she lost to Gia Scott. So Gia Scott became the title holder again in Baltimore. So yeah, fairly recently, in less than 2 years ago, she has been wrestling fairly locally. But we just missed MCW. I guess I forgot when I said she hasn't appeared locally. I forgot I'd made notes of MCW there as well. Yeah. All right, tell us about the match.
Kimberly knocks down Renee and then flips her the double bird. Mm-hmm. Kimberly gets a fan to hold Renee, and then she chops Renee.
The fan wanted no part of it to begin with. It reminded me of Jackson when we were at MCW, and they the guy brought the guy all the way up to the back of the bleachers, and he's like, hold him so I can do a chop. And Jackson's like, no, I don't want to. She was not, and they were like, no, you can do it. Look, it's okay, you can hold them. Yeah, the fan was not wanting to do that. Initially, for sure. Yeah. It was funny.
Kimberly does a roundhouse and a belly-to-belly bird suplex, and Renee still kicks out.
Yep.
And Renee wins by sweeping Kimberly off the top rope and then a swinging neck breaker.
Both of these were class. We like Kimberly anyway. We've seen Kimberly a few times. And Renee Michelle looked really good. Good main event to finish it up. And then the thing else I didn't like at the end of this one, as soon as that match finished, that was literally it. It was end,
30 seconds.
Captions, and then done. That was straight it. I would have liked to see, with that being the last match, kind of like the same thing. I would have liked to have seen them roll out the ring. I don't know. I liked it on the other one because it cuts down the time it takes to watch, because I know you already said you have a very busy schedule, Mason. So lying on your bed watching YouTube must be exhausting. So for that, it's all, and this was an hour and 50 minute show, hour 55, something like that.
Or 51 minutes and 37 seconds.
So if they'd have left all that stuff in, this could have been 2.5 hours easily. So I appreciate that when they do cut down the time and you can focus on that. But there was just a couple of moments when I thought, hey, we should have left in just a few more seconds just so I could see a reaction between a few of the people as well. Thoroughly enjoyed the show. I thought it was good entertainment. I was supposed to be something else. There was something else on the same night that I actually watched this, and I was quite happy that I watched this. We said we were going to do it, and we were quite happy to do it, and it was fun. Next show sounds like January 2022. I don't think they gave any more specifics than that. Obviously, it's still 4 or 5 months away, and who knows with COVID? It's kind of difficult to book matches and events ahead of time because you just don't know what's going to happen specifically. So, all right, final thoughts?
I need to pull a mat and do a movie podcast.
A movie podcast?
TV podcast.
On what?
TV.
Oh, you have something you want to talk about?
I don't know.
You can do a solo show.
Fun. It's fun talking about Fight Club and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. You want to talk more about films. All right, well, I'll have to... I know you can do, I know your grandma does, a book club where everybody watches a book. Everybody reads a book, and then, at the end of the month, they all get around and discuss it. It
doesn't take a month to watch a movie.
I didn't say it did. So, I can pick out a movie, or you can pick out a movie, we can both watch it, and we can talk about it. Yeah. I don't think it particularly fits in well with our wrestling thing. It just happened that Fight Club made sense for us. I think that's the perfect podcast for you and your brother to do together. That requires no input from me at all.
I can't do it with him.
I think that would be
ideal. I have to watch all the sucky movies.
Yeah, he has... He'd probably overshadow you. Yeah, that's probably a good point.
No, I can't watch any PG-13 stuff. All the good stuff.
There's PG films you can watch that are still good. So if I picked out good PG films, then that would be something you guys could do, then.
I guess so. I guess Top Gun would be a first good movie.
Top Gun's PG?
Yeah, it is.
It is.
Okay. It is.
It is from the 80s. It was probably PG in the 80s. Yeah. It's probably PG-13 now. Yeah. I don't remember anything particularly.
I can't remember the other one that I thought was pretty good that shouldn't have been a PG movie but was.
There's a few where I just, and it's interesting when you look on IMDb, like some countries have ratings of like 7, and then other countries it's like 14, and then it's like, wow, there's obviously very different standards between countries. I don't normally look at the rating, I actually normally read the comments that go with it, particularly people who comment on the level of whatever's in the film, and then from there I can normally make a decision. Oh, normally what I'll do is I'll watch the film first and then check, and then if it's okay, give it to you, which obviously I didn't do a great job with when I let you watch Logan, but hey.
What was wrong with that?
41 swear words apparently.
No, this is fine.
Besides that, it was fine.
Nothing I don't hear from everyone else.
Once you've heard like 2 or 3 at that point, it doesn't really make that much difference, I guess. So
same with this podcast, right?
No, this is a PG podcast. All right, so we might be having a collaboration of Mason and Jackson doing a movie review, or I think that'd be a good one to do with a friend.
I think you should get
oh, that would be a terrible idea, a 2-hour film and a 2-hour podcast.
We can't even hear it.
I think that's something that would be a good bonus material for the MG. You could do that by yourself as well. You could review films.
Yeah, I guess you could.
Have a film review on there easily. Put your own.
And I don't have to watch all the sucky movies.
You don't have to watch the sucky movies. You could record yourself on your phone. We could have video footage up there of you reviewing it. All right. That sounds like that's something to watch out for the future.
Martian. That was a good movie.
Martian was fantastic. I tell you, I really enjoyed that film. I thought that was really good. All right. You're going to finish this thing up?
Jessie's actually good at reviewing stuff.
Yeah, she's sleeping through it again, as she often does.
This is MGB, and we're out. Peace!
Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/